The Devar is in Genesis 32, chapter 32, through to 36:40 today. Father, I just ask that you would speak to us and that your Spirit would just test our hearts and allow us to become one. So I ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. Today, as I said, the Devar is taken from Genesis chapter 32 through to 36:40. Now, I've been going through a theme this month, and I began by looking at Israel as the wife of Jehovah, followed by the bride of Messiah. Today, I'd like to look at the local body. Now, we see from our Devar today that people group together in families, and these families exhibited similar beliefs. We see that one family was called of God in the book of Genesis, and Genesis is a book about families. So this is our theme, the family of Israel, the bride of Messiah, and today, the local body, or the family of God in the local community. But let's just first turn to the Devar at Genesis 32, chapter 32, verse 8. Reading from verse 8. And he said, if Esau comes to the one company and attacks it, then the other company which is left will escape. Then Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me, return to your country and to your family, and I will deal with you. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which you have shown your servant, for I crossed over this Jordan with my staff, and now I have become two companies. Deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and attack me and the mother and the children. For you said, I will surely treat you well and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. So this family trusts in God alone and is united under God. The family listen and obey God and Jacob as they potentially approach their death as they go to meet Esau. Now, if we move into chapter 34, verse 1, reading from verse 1. Now, Dinah, the daughter of Leah, whom she had borne to Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and violated her. And we see as the story continues that the father and son exhibited the same beliefs, which were obviously not pleasing to God. So this family was not pleasing to God and exhibited similar beliefs. Now we can see in chapter 35, verse 5, chapter 35, verse 5. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were all around them, and they did not pursue the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, that is Bethel, which is in the land of Canaan, he and all the people who were with him. And he built an altar there and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared to him when he fled from the face of his brother. Here we see God clearly protects his people as we worship him as he prescribes. And as you follow down into verse 23 of the chapter, you already see the beginnings of Israel presented in the sons of Jacob. So this is the godly family that eventually becomes the family of Israel. But if we travel into chapter 36 and verse 1, we see the genealogy of Esau, who became Edom, and he took wives from the daughters of Canaan. Now we know from history, and we know today, that these descendants have absolutely been against Israel from their beginning until this day. So now I'm going to come back and focus on the local body or the local family of God. The first question we have to ask ourselves is, what is the local body? So please turn to Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. And I'll read from verse 22. And he, this is Messiah, put all things in subjection under his feet, and gave him as head over all things to the church, i.e. the called out ones, the local body, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The local body is Messiah's body, and we represent him to the community. But who can enter this local body and community? Well, if we continue to read in verse 1 of chapter 2, so following immediately into chapter 2, verse 1, we read, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, We are no different than Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite. We walked according to the principles of this world. However, in verse 4, chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him, and seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." So we're saved by grace through faith in Messiah dying and rising from the dead for the forgiveness of our sins. Notice, though, that we are saved individually, but he makes us alive together. We are saved into a body or a believing community. So how does this believing community work? Well, Romans 3:9, and we haven't got time to turn there, so I'm just going to read it, but it's Romans 3:9 if you're taking some notes. It says, "Are we better than they?" This is Jews speaking of Gentiles. "Not at all, for we've already charged that both Jews and Greeks are all under sin." So both Jew and Gentile come into one body because we all need Messiah's blood to wash away our sin. Or put again in verse 30 of Romans 3, and verse 30 reads, "Since indeed God, who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith, is one." We are one body. It is important to view both Jew and Gentile as one body. We should not lose the oneness concept when we also acknowledge the physical promises to the believing Jewish people. Further, the gospel is clearly for the Jew first in Romans 1:16, and then the Greek. Further, the scriptures were entrusted with the Jewish people, Romans 3:2. And Romans 2:9 says, "There'll be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek." The point is, if we keep emphasizing differences all the time, we can forget our unity. We're all sinners in one body with Messiah as our head. And Colossians 3:9 reads, Colossians 3:9, "Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on a new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised." This means we are one body, not negating there are covenants and physical promises for the Jewish believers, but these are God's promises and it's his work. Our work is to unite under Messiah and be his servants. Making these distinctions all the time gave me the same feeling when I lived in the US. When I applied for jobs, they were interested in what color I was, whether I was black, Hispanic, or white. The point is, these distinctions are not needed for doing the job. So what is our local community or body based upon? Not a tough question, I hope. It's based upon the scripture, God-breathed scripture. So there's two things, really, we should note with our scripture. I mean, there's many more, but I'm noting two for this particular application. It should be handled correctly, and the word of God should absolutely, by his spirit, cut us to the heart. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, 2 Timothy 2:15, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth." But Hebrews 4:12 also says, "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." We must study so that we can handle the truth properly, but if we're only looking at gaining an understanding or a knowledge without realizing that the word is alive and should cut us to the heart, it should reveal our hearts and bring us to repentance as the Holy Spirit works in our life. So how do we function as a local body? You can see the overhead has Messiah showing. You can just uncover it now. The head is Messiah, as we've been talking about. But the structure of the local body is the dotted lines from Messiah through to the elders. So it's these dotted lines here. And we can see them running down from Messiah through the elders into the deacons and into the congregation. And in 1 Timothy 3:1, it says, "Here is a trustworthy saying, if anyone sets his heart on being an overseer." Now, one meaning for the word overseer is a covering for. They have spiritual authority in the local body. And if you see the small dotted lines that are around Messiah and the elders, these signify the spiritual authority within the local body. So Messiah has spiritual authority, and the elders, because they are listening and hearing and are submitted to Messiah, have spiritual authority. However, deacons do not have spiritual authority. They are the servants of the congregation, and they are the servants of the elders. But there's also another side to this local body. And as you see on the diagram, you can see the straight line arrows. Now, we see that they all point directly to Messiah, because as we saw from Ephesians 1:22, we are all on the same level ground before Messiah, and we all come directly to Messiah. We're accountable to him absolutely, although we also submit ourselves to the eldership, and I'll speak a little bit more of that later. So, if we turn to 1 Corinthians 12, please, 1 Corinthians 12, I'm going to read from verse 12. 1 Corinthians 12:12. For even as the body is one, and yet many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free. We are all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is no one member, but many. So we are a united body, and we all receive spiritual life from the Spirit of God directly. But let's just finish off how we function. If we turn to verse 4 of chapter 12, so moving to verse 4. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. So we're functioning as a local physical body, because we have physical bodies and we're turning up to a physical place. But we're a spiritual entity as well. And the gifts allow us to function spiritually. So if we're to grow physically in numbers, we must also grow spiritually, or we'll no longer function as a unified spiritual body. What I'm saying here is that spiritual life is our primary life force. That's what we grow from. But we can use this application to refer to our young people, our youth and young people today. And I'd like to read Luke 2:52. Don't turn there, I'm just going to read it. Luke 2:52. And Yeshua kept increasing in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and men. So as young people are growing, and they're growing rapidly physically, they're also growing socially as they go out and they meet new people. It's exciting. And as you become more physically developed, you can do more things. The only thing that adults grow now is in width, not height. But you are growing in height as young people. Now, the question here is, if you are growing as a young person physically and socially, and you're not having the same excitement in your growth with the Lord as you get together with your believing friends and you pray together and study the scriptures together, and as you do it alone, then you're going to grow out of balance. You'll grow up physically and you'll grow socially, but you'll lose your walk with the Lord. We must be growing in all our areas as young people so that we grow up into Messiah fully. And this is the same in our local body. Our primary aim is to grow spiritually. That's our first aim. So, in summary, what is the local body under Messiah? Each member individually is responsible to Messiah, but unified as one body to function as a local physical presence, which is a spiritual entity under Messiah and the local eldership. Now, that's wonderful if it all works. However, there are some threats to our local unity in the body, and I'm going to look at these. Now, if you're here as a visitor today, please understand that these are specific to this congregation. However, Scripture is general in its application. So Romans 2:8 states, "But to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath and indignation." James 3:16 says, "For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing." So what we're saying here is that selfish agendas go against the truth, and they create disorder, not structure, in the local body. Now, we are individually responsible to God, but when we commit to a local body, we must lay down our selfish agendas and submit these to the local body. It is the unified agenda which we hope is given us by God, and which our elders follow and lead us in. We must also test the local body's agenda, or their mission, or their vision, or whatever that they describe as their statement. But once we understand it's from God, it's biblical, then we must commit ourselves to the local body. And this is shown by our actions of submission in the local body to the community goal, not our own. There are several prominent things being taught in our congregation by individuals that are not biblical, and which the elders have taught and stood against very clearly. The first of these is the idea that the Mosaic covenant is renewed, as claimed by the teachings of Chai Yesod, and that Gentiles become spiritual Jews. Individuals may hold personal views and differences may exist, but to teach these viewpoints to new persons and publicly in our local congregation when the elders have stood against this is unbiblical and is not laying down ourselves for the body, but fulfilling our selfish agendas. Now, of course, if you're not sure about these issues, please come and speak to the eldership and they'll be more than happy to show you the scriptures and explain why these beliefs are non-biblical. Now, what we're looking for here is unity in Messiah. And we can see this from John 17, verse 23. So John 17, verse 23, which says, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfected in unity, that the world may know that thou didst send me and didst love me, even as thou didst love me. Unity is possible because we're in Messiah doing his will. It's his will. And then we are unified because of his will, because we've laid down our lives to him. We're really laying ourselves to him, which means we're under the authority of God ultimately, but also our elders. Now, how do we do this? Galatians 2:20 is the key. It says, Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Messiah, and it is no longer I who live, but Messiah lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me. This doesn't mean that we don't disagree or that we have debate, we discuss, etc., but we do it in the reference to building up the brethren to find the truth, not pushing our own agendas. The point is we can only unite through God's Spirit working in each of us to bring us to unity. We have absolutely no hope in our flesh. It's only by the new nature that God has given us that we can have unity. Now, we cannot function using the gifts when we have disunity, because Ephesians 4:11 states, Ephesians 4:11, and he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Messiah, until we all attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Messiah. As a result, we're no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but by speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Messiah, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. One Spirit gives the different gifts for the unity of our local community. The gifts cannot function unless the Spirit of God can function. If there's disunity, then the gifts cannot operate. We have individual gifts or a gift, but it's the Spirit of God that allows them to function because they're for the building up of the body, not our personal enhancement. So we need to be unified for the Spirit to work. When we submit to God and function as a local body, we can mature and not be tossed around by these false teachings. We grow in love, so we must speak the truth. Now, another area is not forgiving each other. This causes great disunity. Ephesians 4:32. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Messiah also has forgiven you. If anyone in the body holds unforgiveness towards someone today, it is destroying our unity. God has forgiven us for all our sin. So we must, in his strength, forgive one another today. Now, our major threat to unity is expressed in the following scripture. 1 Corinthians 10:16. 1 Corinthians 10:16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Messiah? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Messiah? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Now, if we cannot break bread together, then we cannot be a united body, because taking the one bread unifies us as one body. It has been falsely taught that people must only take communion at Passover. It is not a question of whether they must, but whether they may. Now, Matthew 26:26 states, Matthew 26:26. And while they were eating, Yeshua took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Now Messiah instituted the Seudah, or communion. Significantly, he did not refer to the flesh of the lamb, but to the matzah, the bread, as a symbol of his body given for us. Hence, it was not Passover as such that he's using inaugurating the Seudah, or the communion, but an adaptation of part of the ceremony. Further in Acts 20, 6-12, and I don't have time to go through it, but essentially, Passover and communion are clearly given as separate, distinct activities when Paul arrived in Troas. And I advise you to look through that. They're distinct, different times. And if you look into Corinthians, Passover is not connected at all with the taking of Seudah or communion. So if you're confused on this issue, again, please see the elders and let them go through the scriptures with you, because this is a serious thing that's creating disunity in our body. So, we must ask ourselves why we're not experiencing the breaking and piercing and brokenness in our hearts from the preaching of the word in our local body, because the word is preached here. So we will not function as a spiritual body until we can take communion and eat of his body together. Scripture is emphatic upon this point, and our congregational experience shows the truth of not doing it. We are not a unified body because of this. And I implore you today, before God, this morning, to examine your hearts individually before God and allow his spirit to highlight what he wishes to show you. The point is, are we willing to lay down our own agendas for the unity of our local body, submitting to God first and then to our elders as God has given us grace?